Good morning. Welcome to the Laurel Heights Church of Christ, where we promise preaching and teaching from the text of Scripture. We invite you this morning to open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. If you are here with us on a regular basis, you are aware that I made a promise a few weeks ago about a series of sermons I would begin today. So I'm fulfilling that promise beginning this morning and throughout all the Sunday mornings in the month of October. Every Sunday morning in October, I'll deliver a sermon intended to take us to the roots of our faith, the foundational beliefs of Christians. I'm calling this Evidences for Everyone. And by that title I mean evidence that supports our faith, presented for easy access for all, for everyone. Not just adults or school students can follow this. We hope this will spark good conversation between parents and their children. I'm going to begin with this statement in Hebrews chapter 11 at verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists, and that He rewards those who seek Him. My emphasis today is on that phrase, must believe that He exists. I want to talk to you today about the existence of God. This verse says, if I want what God has promised, certainly I must believe that He is. Not just guess, but solid confidence in God's existence. There are other things I must believe and do after that, but right now we're talking about the necessity of believing in God's existence. Now, I have this question. Why do you believe in God? Why do you believe there is a God? And your response might be, my parents taught me to believe in God. Well, that's commendable. That's a great start that you had in your life when your parents talked to you about the existence of God and that God should be honored. But that answer is about how you learned about God. If an atheist asks you today, why do you believe in God? What supporting evidence would you give? Let's go at this another way. If someone came to you and admitted their faith in God's existence was getting weaker, and they wanted your help, and they sat down and want you to go through the reasons for belief in God, what would you say? Where would you start? Now, if you draw blank, this is the sermon you need. We have, I think, a typical quick response that we often give. We will say something like, well, it's just a matter of faith. I just believe there is a God. Do we think faith is something that has no reasonable basis? Do we discount the role of evidence for faith? I want to make this point very strongly. God made us and installed within us minds receptive to evidence and capable of faith. But also, God has given us tongues capable of telling why we believe. Let's go a little further with this. when the apostles took the gospel to the world, preaching the truth about Jesus Christ, did the apostles come to a little village and gather an audience and just say to people, "All right, people, just believe"? Or did the apostles give evidence for belief? Please go with me now to John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. John chapter 20. That's where we need to go. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And we will see that the apostles didn't just command people to believe out of nothing. They gave the basis for belief in Christ. John 20, 30 and 31. "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." Why did John write about Jesus? Why did John make a record of what Jesus did? What was his purpose? He tells us, "These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ." John gave evidence upon which faith could rest. The implied expectation is readers of John's gospel will use the mental capacity God gave them to take in the evidence and to arrive at the conclusion, and then share the evidence and the conclusion with others. When the apostles took the gospel to the world, they gave evidence. Witnesses of the resurrection of Christ fulfilled prophecy. The signs and wonders of Christ performed before huge audiences. The uniform revelation of the gospel. There is this tendency to speak of faith apart from evidence. Biblical faith is based on evidence provided by God. Only as we consider and accept the validity of the evidence God has given can our faith be real. I want to repeat what I said earlier. God made us and installed within us minds capable of examining evidence and capable of arriving at a conclusion of faith, and then He gave us tongues to share that evidence and tell the story of the gospel. Every one of us, for our own stability and for the sake of responding to others, should be able to state why we believe in God. We ask atheists why they don't believe in God, and we expect them to give the basis of their unbelief. Well, when they ask us about the basis of our belief in God, we need to have a ready answer. 1 Peter 3:15 says we should always be prepared to give an answer. So the question is important. Why do you believe in God? And the answer is not, "I saw Him yesterday. He appeared to me physically." No, John 1:18 says, "No man has ever seen God." I believe in God because of the abundance and the variety of accumulated evidence. I believe in God because of the abundance and the variety of accumulated evidence. By that I mean the evidence that there is a God is everywhere. It's overwhelming. It's right outside. It's in the structure and working of my body and my mind and your body and your mind. We are able to easily access an amazing array of evidence that we are not accidents of nature. The world didn't just happen without intelligent cause. The mind God gave me is capable of processing the evidence that's all around to know of God's reality. I cannot know and repeat exactly what your answer is. But I want to give you how I frame my answer. I believe in God because of the abundance and variety of accumulated evidence. I want to go into this in some detail as time permits this morning. These may or may not be your answers. I hope you will consider these answers, search your own mind, and make certain what you believe. What I'm going to do is let the words of the Bible introduce us to the evidence. We're going to listen inside Scripture to see how Scripture takes us outside to all the evidence to know of God's reality. For now, the words are not the evidence. The words take us to the evidence. Turn with me to Psalms 19. Psalms 19, please. Verses 1 through 6. This is a statement that points to, that introduces us to, the natural, visible evidence of God's existence. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit is to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. There is evidence all around us. When the sun comes up and goes down, for example, you can see it. You can sense the evidence every day. And what it says is, day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. What is the message? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. There is, outside, all around us, this stunning theater, like a movie that we get to see every time we go outside. And every scene in that production says, there is a God who made all of this. That's the evidence upon which our faith in God's existence is based. And to that I would add, Psalm 33 in verse 6 explains what we see in the natural world. It says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth all their host. And then verse 9 adds, for He spoke and it came to be, He commanded and it stood firm. Ladies and gentlemen, either the natural world that we see and encounter every day was made, or it just happened. Which do you believe? My conclusion is, I believe in God because of the abundance and the variety and perfect beauty of accumulated evidence. Children who have the sermon note page, I believe in God because of the abundance and variety of accumulated evidence. That's what we're after. As written in Acts 14:17, God did not leave us without evidence in nature, in that He did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons. Turn to the book of Romans next, please. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. The next statement from Scripture, I do not cite as solitary evidence, rather a statement that causes us to think and observe and be reasonable people using the minds God gave us. Romans 1, 18 to 20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. Please mark that phrase, clearly perceived, clearly seen in verse 20. Since the creation of the world, God has given incredible evidence of His eternal power and His existence, so that the last part of this says, they are without excuse. Men are without excuse. Hebrews 3 and verse 4, please. Hebrews 3 and verse 4. I especially want parents and children to have conversations about Hebrews 3 and verse 4 when you get home. I believe we need to sit down with our children and talk about the certainty, the reality of God's existence. There is a God in heaven. And I want to show you a simple way you can do that with children who are very young from Hebrews 3 and verse 4. Now what we're looking for here is simplicity. Children need simplicity. And you want to stress just one thing. There is a God. Read with your children this verse from Hebrews 3 and verse 4. And maybe commit this to memory. It's very simple. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Isn't that what it says? Right there in your Bible in Hebrews 3 and verse 4. If you're sitting next to your child, point that out to them. Hebrews 3 and verse 4. Every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now, once you have your child focused on that verse and maybe memorized, just point to a house and ask the child if they believe the house was built. From a very young age, they will say, yes. Every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. They may even quote it. You're driving down the street, just point to a house and inquire. Yes, the house was built, the child will say. Even though you cannot see the builder there building the house, he's finished. Even though you cannot see the builder standing there claiming ownership, children know that houses were built by someone. Then do this. Point to the sky, the earth, the universe. Use a globe and make the point. Was the universe built? And what about people? Did they just come to pass? Here is a simple entrance into the mind of a child about the existence of God. Just park alongside the road. After they've memorized the verse, and just say, was that house built? And they're going to say, yes, that house was built. Kids can think. They can see connections between builder and building. Don't let them be confused by the culture, the politically correct skepticism and rampant atheism. Talk to your children about the certainty of God's existence. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth is still a great memory verse for our children. They understand the simplicity of origins, I think. You've seen those books and list of things that kids have said about God. Here's one from a letter a little girl wrote to God. And she said, "Dear God, we read in school today that Thomas Edison made light. But then we went to Bible class, and the Bible says that you did that. I bet Mr. Edison stole the idea from you." Hebrews 3:4. Every house is built by someone. Hebrews 3:4 can take a child to the premise of design means designer. There is a God. I believe in God because of the abundance and variety of accumulated evidence. Yet, there is a common complaint that comes up. May I take another moment or two and manage that? Somebody will say, "Well, now, wait a minute. If there is a God, why doesn't He show Himself? Why doesn't He come down and interact with the human race, at least for a while? Why doesn't He show up here on earth?" I hope everybody here knows the answer to that. Why doesn't God show up here on the earth? And the answer is, He did. John chapter 1 says, "He became flesh and dwelt among us." 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh." Bible writers over and over speak of the incarnation of Jesus Christ as God manifested in the flesh. How much evidence is necessary? Upon biblical evidence and all other evidence, we can confidently confess there is a God. Hebrews 11:3, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." Finally, one of my favorite books about evidences of faith is a book written by Frank Turek. Mr. Turek wrote a book called "Why I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist." And early in his book, he talked about the small cell creatures that they show your children pictures of in school, that they have up on the slide, that they teach our children about. Frank Turek talks about the small cell creatures, and he made this observation: the simplest life form contains the informational equivalent of 1,000 encyclopedias. At this point, you may have to stop and go back and explain to the children what an encyclopedia is. Those books that we used to have on the shelf. So, the simplest life form contains the information equivalent of 1,000 encyclopedias. Christians believe only an intelligent being can create a life form containing the equivalent of 1,000 encyclopedias. Atheists believe non-intelligent natural forces can do it. Christians have evidence to support their conclusion. Since atheists don't have any such evidence, their belief requires a lot more faith. Here's where we started. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. If you are in that mode of seeking Him and you've discovered in the New Testament what you need to do to be saved, we invite you to come while we stand to sing.